Welcome to a special edition of the Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad, and Bird, we are in a particular place with so many people.
You may be able to hear the din of the crowd in the background.
Not a roar.
Not a roar, just a din. It's a little player Hooligan meet and greet. Just thought, you know, going into this stretch run here where we need to pick up some points, it'd be nice to have a little meeting of the players and the fans, just kind of, you know, let the players know we're still on their side and actually let the players get to know some of the fans, because this year's group's been a little more shy than previous years. So
I was talking to Marco just kind of standing around earlier, and he didn't quite get it. At first, I kind of had to explain, you know, in years past, we had these kind of events early on.
Right.
We didn't have as many this year as we normally do. And now, going into the stretch, we want the fans to know who these guys are, what they're up against. You know, we're not here
just
to pressure
on the field,
them.
But a little personality, yeah.
Yeah, and as Dragon said, they're a very private group compared to what we're used to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can be private and still, you know, have this interaction, have this...
Yeah, and as I look out over the crowd, there's a few players that are kind of keeping to themselves, but if you go up and talk to them, they're more than willing to talk. They're just not going to take that first step.
Now, that said, we're going to tackle a couple of them and strap them down to the chair if we have to and make them talk to us.
Yeah, I think so. Some of the favorites we'll grab.
Some of the not favorites.
Well, I'm on it.
Especially this week.
Jesus. Well, that was the other reason we had this event, just so Hooligans could actually get to know each other and talk to each other.
Face to face.
Because sometimes online things get a little testy, especially when we're losing so much.
But if you wait till you hear from Marco, he is positive that that's going to change.
And I want to be positive, too. Before we get to players, let's run through some news this week. We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about these, but first item up is MLS to St. Louis. I know some of you are tired of talking about it, but... news came out this week. Jim Thomas from the Post-Dispatch interviewed Paul Edgerly, and he basically said, you know, the money's still there if they can find a way to bridge that gap. And I know they've talked about a few things. They've talked about maybe a nonprofit sort of organization to own the stadium rather than the city. They've talked about some community, maybe the state, maybe the county, ponying up some of the money to make up that $60 million difference. It's not dead, but...
it's where it was months ago.
It kind of is. I mean, we knew that, you know, they wouldn't just let it go for $60 million, but, I mean, right now we're watching the county argue about building an ice rink. We're watching them argue about building the velodrome. So it's going to take a minor miracle to make this happen.
And, again, this is exactly what Tom had told us last time we had him on, and he talked about it. They were investigating options, but...
There was no plan B, but if one presents itself, they will actually, you know, listen to it and talk about it. So, I mean, that's where we're at right now, and, I mean, unless something changes, there's nothing really to report.
So, again, business as usual, no change. But if something comes up, they're going to put all their efforts into it to save their efforts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a sense it's good news for those people that are still hoping for it to happen. I mean, we're all hoping for it to happen. It's not.
I hope my hair is going to grow back.
It's better than Paul Edgerly saying, no, the deal's off the table.
Right, absolutely.
But
and again, they sunk millions into this.
Yeah.
You want to hope that there's an option for a return. But if there's not, it is what it is. Yeah.
Matt, you got anything to add on that?
Nope.
Okay, let's move on. Noah Fazekas, just real quick, former St. Louis Lion, now plays for Grand Rapids FC in the MPSL.
Fantastic goalkeeper.
Yeah, he's really a good guy. He won the St. Hooligans Player of the Year back in whatever year it was with the Lions, maybe 2014.
Something like that.
He had a little health scare. He had some lung clots.
Terrifying.
Yeah. But good news is he's home resting, and we wish him the absolute very best.
He's already tweeting, so that kind of says he's in good enough health.
The Northern Guard hate him.
Yes.
So anyone.
So that's how you know he's good.
That's how if you get under their skin, then you're doing all right.
So Noah, if you happen to listen to this, we're all rooting for you, and we'll see you out there real soon. USL news, the Las Vegas team was announced officially. Las Vegas Lights is their name.
The Las Vegas Shites.
Yeah. I liked, what was the one I liked? Las Vegas.
FIFA Las Vegas.
FIFA Las Vegas. No, there was, I think Viva Las Vegas was actually one. Las Vegas Action There were a couple of them. I liked Club Vegas. That's the
and
one I liked.
I loved Club Vegas.
But they went with Las Vegas Lights, so there you go.
The lights go out.
Let's talk about Division III, and this is a much bigger conversation than I thought we'd be having. First NISA is Peter Wilt's new league.
He is just – he's going to fight the man every step of the way.
He is going to fight the man. He's looking to start in either 2018 or 2019. They still have not achieved USSF sanctioning. That'll come up here in a conversation in a minute. But one of the first eight teams announced was St. Louis. This is, from what we understand, the Foundry Group are behind this Division III team. We don't know where they're going to play. We don't know what time, you know, the timetable is for that. But that's what we know. We also know they also picked Miami, which has an NASL team. They picked Charlotte, which has a USL team. And they picked Phoenix, which has a USL team. So four of their first eight markets are going head-to-head with a Division II team.
I don't get it. I don't know what to say. I kind of laid it out on Twitter, my thoughts. More soccer is good. You know, I cities all over the world have a lot of lower league teams. You know, I come from Manchester, England, and there's Bolton and Wigan and Rochdale and Stockport.
We support a lower level.
Yeah, yeah. So in that respect, it would be having a rival is no bad thing. An intercity rival is can work. But I just don't see this league happening.
Well, that's the thing. I see how it would work. I see how it could actually be good for the city to have some competition, but just everything they're doing seems to replicate what NASL did, and you know, we'll talk about this in a minute. The state NASL finds itself in. The other markets they identified, the four of the eight, I mean, it was Milwaukee, it was Omaha, I don't know, there were a couple other small markets that seem perfect for Division III.
Yes.
And to be fair, we don't know if those were already visited by the whole USL D3.
That's
because
the other thing.
They've kind of done a Midwest tour a little bit and made some.
In 2019, USL D3 is coming online. And again, we know USL, very organized, a big base now.
55 employees versus 5, I think,
yeah,
was the thing
that
we saw today.
Yeah, that's what they tweeted today, yeah. So it's going to be very hard. There's Willinho. It's going to be very hard for this NISA league to make a dent.
And that's the other thing, too, is that there's room for it. There's absolutely room for two D3s.
Pick the right markets.
But going after existing markets, it just seems that you're already starting behind the eight ball.
Well, and you could pick markets that are tangential to USL markets to create a rivalry. I mean, there could be a – I'm not saying Columbia, Missouri could support a team, but – Columbia, Missouri, you know, to compete with St. Louis and Kansas City. Or if you go Omaha and maybe a Wichita team. You know what I mean? Like,
there's plenty of places that can do a D3.
America's so big.
But the thing is, we've seen D2 go against an existing D3 market in Oklahoma, and it didn't work. The base is here. Now, I'm a St. Louis FC fan, through and through. I'm sold. But I welcome a little competition. I welcome a little competition, and
I don't want to.
I think Oklahoma City Energy had to raise their game a little bit when Rayo came to town.
Absolutely,
and hey, let's not mince words. St. Louis FC could stand to raise their game in a few aspects.
Well, and you could technically put a St. Louis team in St. Charles, out Wentzville way. And they could draw well.
It could even be in St. Louis. It could work. I just don't have any faith in the Foundry Group, one, and NISA in another. You know,
it just
seems haphazard.
It doesn't even seem haphazard. It just, and this is the hard part for me, because I guess this is maybe me getting old, turning 42 now. But
fuck off.
There's a point in my mind where I sit here and say, you know. Fuck the man. You know, there was a point where I was always the, you know, rebel mind, you know, alternative, whatever you want to call it. But now just kind of saying, why are you fighting the man?
You're throwing your money away at a certain point.
Well, also, especially in this city, I don't trust the fans to show up, to support them.
No, we had a game downtown and nobody showed up.
Nobody shows up and supports the Lions. Nobody showed up and supported FC Bordeaux. Nobody goes and supports the Ambush, really. I mean, comparatively to what it was back in the 80s and stuff.
And St. Louis FC has a 3 to 4 year head start.
Yep.
It just seems to be. Again,
I mean, we are the biggest fans in the city. I mean, not me personally, but the St. Luligans, and we don't have time to go see all the teams. Well, I would like to go see more Lions games. I would like to go see more Fire and Ice games, but there's a limited number of weekends. I mean,
and we had that in the past where we supported multiple teams. Where on a Friday night we'd go watch Bordeaux, Saturday was the Fire and Ice, and Sunday was the Lions.
Yeah,
and you just can't do it all. Now that said, if a group of Luligans decide, hey, you know what, we're going to give this a shot, and they go, more power to them. You know, more soccer is good, yeah. And I'm probably going to go out of morbid curiosity just to go see what it's like a good two or three times anyway. And
that's the other thing, though. If they start winning. And it's attractive soccer, and it's competitive soccer. Now, again, it's going to be D3, which is technically a level down, but we know in the United States that doesn't really mean a lot.
Yeah. This was technically D3 last year.
But they're going to pay less than D2, so the quality of soccer may decrease too.
And I don't know. Here's the thing, and someone said to me on Twitter, you know, that it's mainly going to be local college talent, guys, just local college talent coming out of college and you know, that's going to be the makeup of the team. But the thing is, we don't already go and watch the college talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at SLU and Lindenwood and SIUE.
We've got great college talent in this town.
But the people don't go. No. People don't go and watch the existing college talent, let alone once they've left. So, I mean.
I will throw this out right now. As we're saying, nobody goes to see college talent. The St. Louis University women's team, they're off to a 6-0 start. And tomorrow night, they're trying to set a record for the biggest home attendance for. Yeah. So if you're not doing anything on a Friday night, you're probably listening to this Friday morning, go out to SLU. Tickets are like $5.
Yeah.
And if you send me a message on Facebook or Twitter just to the St. Luligans account, they're wanting to give out SLU T-shirts to any Luligans that show up. They're doing it for students, but they said they'd also give them to us. So just send us a message. Say, hey, I'm going to the SLU game, and I'll put your name on the list.
I'll not be going.
Just because I can't go, but I would – I mean –
I'm going to England, so.
Shut up.
I thought you were leaving next week. You're leaving?
Tomorrow.
Oh, well.
Tomorrow morning.
No, well, God damn it.
That's why we had to go tell the in-laws today.
There you go. Yeah, can we break the news on the pod?
Actually, yes, we can. We can, because my wife said she didn't want to announce it on Facebook, but she said you could tell the Luligans, you know, personally.
There
but this
we go.
Isn't on Facebook, but we're expecting twins.
Ta-da!
So our first two signings, Jeremy, 2018.
Yeah, so congratulations, Matt Berg. Congratulations,
so
Erica.
So awesome. We are so happy for you guys.
And congratulations, Ewan.
I'm walking around in a daze.
So that's the big question, is how Ewan's going to handle it.
Oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
Hey,
well, I need to talk to you because I need a car with 3 rows of seats.
Well, and also, hey, you need to talk to Zach. He's selling Mazdas.
I already have sounded him out.
Get that CX-9, baby.
CX-9.
My parents have one. It's
something
awesome.
Else. Before this all goes tits up, we need to order you a couple onesies because I don't know what's going to happen next year. So we'll get you a couple Luligan onesies.
Got to know what they are, pink or greens.
Yeah, we'll just get them greens. Green covers boys and girls.
That's true, because the little Mayfield is here in green.
I do want to say to people, I'm going to see my folks this week, and I'm going to tell them then. Don't plaster it all over Facebook.
Yeah.
You don't use Twitter. Send me a message on Twitter.
Your grandma's still a member of the Luligan's Facebook group?
What was that all about?
That was funny.
Anyway, congratulations, Matt.
That is so great. Again, couldn't be
happier.
Twins,
man. Jesus.
You're going to suffer.
All right, let's hit a couple more things before we try to grab a player here. This week it also came out that NASL has been denied by United States Soccer Federation D2 sanctioning for 2018.
Worth mentioning that doesn't mean that USL has.
Here's the thing. NASL has never qualified for D2. They've always gotten waivers. This is USL's first year as D2. I don't know what Sarah's doing, but she's giggling.
But she keeps taking selfies, and I keep making faces behind.
Ah.
The last one was me trying to swallow the microphone.
Well, there we go.
Kyle Kepner actually made a great point about that.
I saw that. Go ahead and tell us.
It really was a great point. I wish I had thought about it. But USL aren't doing a D3 for their D2 league to get knocked back to D3.
Exactly.
And they are putting a lot of money into that D3 league. So
He used the word assurances, and someone said, oh, that's a bit strong. I bet he's right. I think they have assurances.
Well, and they also get the, you know, sort of justification that they can give U.S. soccer. Look, If any of our teams don't meet D2 come 2019 or whatever,
we have a league for them.
Yeah. Right. So I think USL is going to get the benefit of the doubt there. And I think we've seen with Phoenix and we've seen with a couple other places that have done these modular stadiums.
OC Blues did it.
The OC Blues did it too, right. So if you've got a place like Pittsburgh that technically doesn't fit the 5,000 minimum seat requirement, the blueprint's in place. They can bring in temporary stands to up their stadium. I think USL's crossing all their I's or T's and dotting all their I's. So
yeah, and that's the thing too, is that most stadiums, I mean, even like the two teams are really ultimately the big question, you know, whether or not they're in. But worst case scenario, and I was thinking about this, is that they could just say, you know what, fine, we'll play them in the big stadium.
Right.
You know, it doesn't help them at all. It actually hurts them. But you can just say, hey, we are, just to check it off.
More importantly than what it means for USL being the only D2 league next year, what it means for NASL. This could be the death nail.
I don't see how it isn't.
We know last year, I mean, Ottawa and Tampa Bay defected, and there was a time there where they were negotiating for USL to bring more teams in and to either fold NASL or merge them into USL. Now you've got to look at teams like Indianapolis. You've got to look at teams like Jacksonville. North Carolina, supposedly in advanced negotiations to jump.
Yeah.
And we know San Francisco is on the verge of collapse.
Maybe
for financial reasons. If San Francisco collapses, NASL falls below the threshold where those teams have to pay a fee to get out, or it greatly reduces that fee. That was the threat that kept a lot of them in NASL last year.
Yeah.
I think this signals the end. You ask then what happens to teams like Miami FC, who have been staunchly anti-MSL, MLS.
Cosmos.
Cosmos put out a statement today.
Cosmos are going to be a team without a league.
They're going to be the Harlem Globetrotters without a league.
He said he didn't invest in this to be anything less than D2, but how do you buy a team? He bought a team in the last 10 months.
Yeah, this was on the table.
How did you not know that this was a possibility?
You got to do your due diligence, man.
I think what it is that it's just some of these people are so extremely confident that they're just, you know, I don't lose.
So then we go back to NISA. Maybe some of these NASL teams fold into NISA at Division 3. I can't see the Cosmos going to Division 3. Like
either.
Matt said, they may be a team without a league.
I think because the Cosmos have been so virulently anti-MLS, that's what's going to happen. They've engineered this to happen.
And we've actually talked about the Cosmos. They could become a barnstorming team where they just travel around and play exhibition games against any takers.
And the problem is that now with the way the leagues are going to establish D2, D3, you don't need to have exhibition games against the Cosmos.
Right.
Unless they have retired all-stars.
The Cosmos name, they still tread on that. They still, you know, but make their living on that. But it means nothing.
It means nothing to a lot of new people.
No.
It means something to you and me. It doesn't mean something to kids.
And you said it today, Matt. They put out the little press release about all their championships.
Nothing to do with
that. I'm only counting the modern ones.
Yep.
Because the old, it's like when Ambush, you know, brags about their history. The old team has nothing to do with the new team.
Not at all. It drives me nuts.
The good news is, I know a lot of people still love Irvin Herrera. Maybe we'll get him back.
I got to be honest, it crossed my mind.
All right, let's move on from the NASL talk. Just a couple more things. Wallet Hub put out a list, and USL retweeted it today. They ranked the top 40 USA markets for soccer fandom. St. Louis came in at 23rd. You know,
honestly, all things considered, I was pretty happy
with that. No, that's not
bad, no. Because mid-table.
Because honestly, you look at, you know, for example, and I'll just pick on, you have Seattle, Portland, you know, you have the Pacific Northwest, you have those three. You have the Galaxy.
Kansas City came in number one.
You have Kansas City. You have Minnesota doing great right now. You have these MLS clubs that have built up a reputation.
Oh, yeah.
You're not,
and a lot of it was weighted towards MLS. They threw in Division One. They threw in, you know, all these things.
We weren't going to crack the top 20.
No,
just
we don't have an
that.
NWSL team. We don't have.
And Sacramento, you know, they've been doing this for years. Cincinnati.
Since he was the number one in USL at 16. So us being at 23rd, that's not bad.
I'm perfectly fine with. That's good. Considering that our attendance has dropped due to the points, I'm fine with that.
All right. Last thing up, the Canada road trip, guys. for St. Louis FC, it was a disaster.
We actually said that we keep finding new ways to drop points. We actually drop points exactly the same way in two games.
Well, you tweeted it. What is it, 19?
21 points.
21 points from a winning position.
From a winning position we have dropped. You know, we get half of those back and we're comfortable.
Oh, yeah. We're coasting into the playoffs.
But here's the thing. I actually felt bad for the guys because I thought they played decent. I thought they played well in Toronto. First half especially. I thought the way they came back in Ottawa, the way they came back.
They played both games pretty well. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this. They're not playing poorly.
And it's. I feel bad for them.
We're having momentary lapses which kill us.
After Charlotte away, I was furious. I was not furious Ottawa. I felt sick for the guys, to be honest.
I mean, I was furious in the sense that, yeah, we dropped points that should have been ours. Right now, if we'd have won those two games in Canada, we'd be in that eighth spot.
Yeah.
The good news is we're still not out of it, but we're going to need these guys to win. That's all there is to it.
We've been saying that for the last 2 months, bro.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Broken record.
And we're going to have a couple of players on. We're going to talk about the importance of the fans staying behind the team. But I mean, just walking in tonight, I talked to a few guys, and they're crestfallen. They know how close they were to grabbing 6 points and only coming away with two.
Yeah. But if we live by the sword, we got to die by the sword. Out of our 8 games, we've won 4 of them with last gasp goals.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Ottawa and New York Red Bull home games, they were pretty much last gasp victories. Tampa Bay and Tulsa.
Yeah.
I mean, live by the sword, die by the sword, guys, you know.
All right, the one thing I want to bring up, and then we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back with some players. But I did run a poll on the This Is Silly Twitter feed. The Canada road trip, and basically, who do you blame most for where we find ourselves right now at this point in the season? I mean, it's not scientific, obviously. It's a 250 self-selecting poll. 43% of the fans blame Preki. 37% of the fans blame the players. 14% blame the front office, and 6% blame the ownership. I will say tonight, even though tonight was billed as a Meet the Players event, Preki knew what was going on. Would have been an awesome moment for Preki to show up. We got a message from Tom Strunk and Pat Barry and Jeremy. Pat Barry and Jeremy are flying in as we speak. Otherwise, they would be here tonight. Tom Strunk had a family thing. He was planning on being here and had a family thing come up. And Jim Cavanaugh also was out of town. Kind of disappointed Preki didn't take the opportunity to show up tonight.
I'm okay with it. I'll take the flip side of the coin. This is a players' event. This is a fans' event. Let's keep it that way. That's what it was built
sure.
at. Let's keep
yeah.
it that way.
I will say, our man Darian is here, walking around, shaking hands, keeping everybody happy.
Yeah, if you need tickets, he's here.
Putting in the overtime. So please, if you need tickets, call Darian. He's kicking ass for us.
And we will get to the game coming up Saturday, but I will say there are a couple of point specials. The KPNT, Moon did a great chat this week with Adam Grinwis, and hopefully we'll be able to grab Adam for a quick talk. But $15 for a ticket and a beer, or $17.64 for the year St. Louis was founded. $17.64 will get you a ticket and a soda and a popcorn and a hot dog, I think. So
and maybe a a goal.
And maybe a goal. Also, if you buy tickets for Section 18 this week, they will donate a portion of those proceeds to Hurricane Harvey relief. So
you can buy an 18 and come hang with us.
That's right. Yeah, you can buy tickets in Section 18, but walk over to
You can buy Section anywhere and sit hang out in 8 and 9.
That's right. So let's take a break now, and then when we come back, we will grab a few players to talk about the Harrisburg game and just fandom in general.
Okay, we are back. We've grabbed a couple players this time.
That's not right. Just
any player. Captain my captain, Mirko, is on with us. And he brought Milan, who refuses to talk, but we're still going to talk about him like he's on the air.
Milan is here. So.
What's going on, Mirko?
No, not much, not much. Thank you guys for having me here. And it's a nice event that you guys organize. Pretty impressive.
You know, it's just a way to get to know each other a little bit. You guys know how we feel about the game, but just personal interactions sometimes help enforce it a little bit.
Yeah, so we are here to, to answer any questions and help you guys understand our side a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
So first question, four games. We got to get these.
I think we will.
There you go. The captain says it. It must be true.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you can look at the Canadian road trip as we only got 2 points, but we were so close to grabbing all six. We're right there. We're not far away.
All right, why six? Why not seven?
because Seth got sent off.
So, all right, how can you, we deal with some things that it's not in our control, like we talked about before. It wasn't in our control for Seth to be sent off.
Right.
You know, and...
Well, and that just happens. That wasn't... I mean, none of us blamed Seth for what happened. I mean... Dragon's giving some advice.
Dragon's being my engineer here.
We're gonna get you on here in a second, Dragon.
So, you score a goal in Rochester in 3rd minute, and then you get guys sent off. And the worst thing was that he got sent off, and
it was so long,
That, and it was two negative things in one.
But it's double jeopardy. You get a play sent off and a penalty. Yeah. It's double jeopardy.
But the thing was, is that even though we were down a man, we weren't out. You guys kept in it like we was even strength the entire time. There was never, we're down a man, we're going to park the bus, we're going into defensive shell. It was, no, we're still playing.
Well, in that point, what do you do?
Yeah.
We defend it a little bit, but not. We wanted to win.
And at that point, it really doesn't matter if you lose 3-0 or 1-0. You know what I mean? You have to go for it.
And we were, I think, Perky gambled in that game. You know, he tried to go for those 3 points, score one more goal, and then try to park the bus and try to close the game.
And Rochester's a tough team. They're always going to be tough. They're masters of a 1-0 win.
Yeah.
So I don't find any fault with the Rochester game or either of the Canadian games. It just happens that way sometimes.
Yeah. And once we make playoffs, I wish we play Rochester first game. That's my pick. I really want them.
And that's the scary thing about this team. We've said it all along. Nobody wants to play us because on any given day, we can beat any team in the league top to bottom.
No.
It's just stringing 2 or 3 wins together that we're having a little bit of problem with.
Well, that all comes to the way that season has been going. You know, in my opinion, you cannot have guys playing on a consistent base because most of the guys have been hurt the whole year. So now we are dealing with different things, fitness-wise, form-wise, just playing.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. People think, oh, yeah, we got this guy back. All of a sudden, it's 100%. No, it takes a while. I mean, your injury is a perfect example. You were out for a long time. I think we've dramatically improved since you've come back. But even when you were back first, it takes a few games to get up to game speed.
Well, it takes you probably 5 to 10 games to get in your 100%. Yeah. So if I was out for 3 months, you need 3 more months to get back where you were before I got hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm still not 100%. I can still feel it. But what about the other guys who were hurt as well? So through whole season, we never had our roster available for the probably 2 games. Ottawa and one more game in the middle of season. That was it. We had possible four starters not available for the trip to Canada.
And Dragon was just hovering over here. A crazy legal loophole that the lawyers still aren't sure what happened, but he didn't get to make the trip, which is a guy you're counting on for those games.
But not just him. What about Emmanuel, Matt Sheldon, Tavo Guzman? Yeah. All those guys are the guys who should be playing.
And when you and I were talking before we got to doing this, you made a comment at one point in time we had 6 starters out.
Yeah.
And that's – and you made a great point, and it kind of caught me off guard because I hadn't thought about it. And once you said it, no other team has had 6 guys out this season. No, I mean, I forget who it was that used an example.
I use Charleston.
Charleston had 4 guys out, and you saw them struggle for 3 days.
And that's what I've always said about Louisville. Louisville have never had the adversity we've had. I know.
It's true.
They've never
Same
had
with
the
Cincinnati.
Injuries.
You know, they you do.
Well, but I mean, over your shoulder, Mitch, the opening night of NFL is going on. Any team, any sport, you lose six starters, it makes a difference. I mean, there's just no way around it.
And part of it is bad luck, you know, but at the same time, you know, we have the skill to make up for it at times, but six is hard to overcome.
Well, let's get right down to it. We've got a few more home games here. How important is it to you, Mirko, and Milan, who's not even on the mic, but to have those fans there? I mean, we really need to get people here behind you guys. What difference does it make to you guys to have a home crowd that's really fired up and behind you guys?
It's definitely huge, and I think that is going to make the difference of us making playoffs or not. You know, four games that we have left at home, they're massive. With four wins, we make playoffs, definitely.
So, you heard Mirko. So, show up to these games. We need you. It's not over.
No, definitely it's not.
We're very close.
We are there. We are there, and everything's our hands. So, hopefully we get the full house on Saturday, and then Saturday after that, and we get on that final push for playoffs.
And the thing is, we've talked about it for weeks on end. Our schedule is favorable to us. You know, it's Harrisburg, it's Orlando City, Harrisburg again away.
Orlando City lost tonight.
They did.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So that helps us.
We've got to play Richmond at home again.
Yep.
Richmond. We've got some winnable games coming up. So.
And the last game at Bethlehem Steel, that's the way you want to end out the season. I mean, that's a team that we should be able to run with.
That's going
to
be a big one, and that's going to be one where we're at ITAP, and we're going to be, you know, right there. So, I don't know. Just show up to every game that we have left, and we're pulling for you guys.
Thank you. It means a lot for us on the field, and it's a different feeling playing at home and playing away.
How about playing in Toronto? Was that like in a
yeah.
like in a graveyard?
Yeah. It was interesting.
Well, you can actually hear the coach talk, and you know, you can hear all the instructions going on because there is no cheering.
No.
Well,
no.
And Mirko, you've got some experience with this. You played at Sacramento, where great crowds. They get 11,000 people into it. Tower Bridge Battalion does a great job. And then you went to Orange County, where maybe the crowd's not so great. Thankfully, they're improving this year. They got a new owner, got a new stadium. Things are looking up for them. But it does make a difference to you guys.
No, definitely. I remember playing in Sacramento, that every home game was just a different experience playing at home and away. And I personally love playing at Bonnie Field. It was just something new, especially in that time being new in the league, and Sacramento really brought something new to USL, talking about fan base.
They were the first of the modern clubs that had the big fan base, and obviously, you know, you got on a roll there with Preki and won the championship that year. But that was sort of the modern USL. I mean, 10,000 people. Yeah. Before Cincinnati was Cincinnati, Sacramento really was the benchmark.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think fans made difference in that 2014. They made a difference because in the semifinal game against LA Galaxy, we were 2-0 down, and they just lift us after first goal. The stadium just exploded, and they were carrying us through whole 9 minutes, and finally we won.
And I think we've got the opportunity to do that here. Maybe, I mean, obviously we can't fit 11,000 into our stadium, but if we pack this stadium, it can be a big lift for you guys.
I mean, you saw what the Chicago game was like here. I mean, this stadium was bouncing for that Chicago game. I mean, you stick 5,500 people in a cramped, tight stadium, it may as well be the Bernabeu.
Yeah, it changes things. And I know we felt it. Obviously, you guys were feeling it because we saw you guys react to the crowd and have that interaction. It was different than what we've seen the past few games.
I don't think it's about numbers, about having 12, 15, 20,000. It's about how much passion those fans have and how much they cheer, how much they scream. And
it makes a big difference because the corner is always going to be bouncing because that's what we do. But you see certain games, the rest of the stadium starts to get in on it.
Yes.
And starts to chant and starts to stand up. Makes a big difference out there.
You know, in every stadium, even in Europe, you have some one side where people are just sitting and they're watching, but then you have multiple sides where people are cheering. So hopefully we can get that whole side, east side of the stadium going and cheering. So that will be huge.
Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah, there's plenty of good ticket deals. Please come out. Please support the team. I know Milan. I know you're not talking on the mic, but you got your first goal the other night, or well, not your first goal, but a goal the other night, and you're feeling it, right? My man's feeling it.
He's comfortable.
And that's important because now we got Seth, we got Milan, we got the guys behind him, Mirko and DJ and all those guys chipping in.
Christian scored again.
So we're ready. We're ready to make that move.
We are. I think there are a couple positive things from the trip to Canada. You know, Christian scoring after a while, Milan getting back, Seth keeping his form, and us just not being lucky to close the games. But there's that feeling that we are playing well. We are getting better as a team. Results didn't bounce our way, but it, you know, we are feeling positive, and that's something that it really give us belief that we can make playoffs, and we will.
All right, man.
So before we let him go,
all right,
I do want to point out, I had to pick it up the other night. Sarah got her jersey personalized, and she didn't just get any name.
She could pick any player she wanted, and who did she pick?
Wow,
she got Mirkovic on the back because that is her favorite. So no pressure. You've got a fan. You know.
But our Instagram queen is saying Mirko is going to bring us to the playoffs.
He's just grinning. He's grinning ear to ear. That's all that we care about. The mentality is there. We're ready.
All right.
We are.
All right.
Thanks, guys. We're going to take a break, and then we'll grab another player.
We'll see you guys Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So when I grabbed our next player, the first words out of his mouth are, is it going to get silly? That's what we're going to do. So we have brought on.
Oh, look, Milan's back.
And Mirko. They're coming to here to harass.
They're going
to
harass Dragon.
Our badass pre midfielder, Dragon.com.
Milan can't harass me. Come on. He doesn't even speak English. Come on.
He speaks enough. No, I've caught him.
Well, no. Now we got Dragon on with us. And he filled in as captain when Mirko was out. And he did an admirable job. Was the first guy to wear the actual St. Luligan's captain's armband. So you'll always hold a spot.
I believe that was a win, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a win, but after that, it wasn't good. So let's be honest.
But let's just make sure that when Dragon wears the armband, we win, Mirko. So
not really.
That's all right. We're getting there. We're so close to breaking through, and Mirko's pretty confident that we're going to make the playoffs. Are you feeling the same way, Dragon?
Am I confident?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe we can reach the playoffs, and I know that everybody believes, from the coach to the guy who's cleaning the whole stadium. So, am I confident? I've been confident from the start of the season.
See, that's the thing. It doesn't. It, these
but
guys
it's just like.
Some things you can't
like
control.
You can't say something, and like words don't really mean anything. Like, I feel like what's the most important thing is on the field. That's the only place you can show it. So,
but that's exactly kind of the reason that we wanted to talk to you guys. We know we've seen the intensity on the field. We've seen the desire. We want to hear it from you guys too, as well, because you know we know. We know you're capable. You know you're capable. But there's something about hearing it saying, okay, we know what we're up against. This is something we can do. You know, nobody's going to say, oh, we suck. but at the same time, to hear that confidence, that gives people hope.
I'm gonna just say this. Like, if we played really bad and I would go to training and I would think about it all the time that we're playing bad and I wouldn't believe that we can get to the playoffs, but I know this team and the players and how it's every day in training and how competitive it is and how hungry everybody is to win games. I truly believe, and I think we have a good team to make the playoffs. It just, this season has been a lot of games where it's been like, for some reason, we lost a lot of points where, I don't know, one thing is, not one thing, but a lot of things are have not been going our way. We won a few games in the end also, but we lost a few and draw some games at the end also where you just...
I think
wears you out a little bit after that kind of game, but...
I think the important thing to recognize is we have been playing better, and we're still in with a shot. It's not like we don't have a chance. So we talked to Mirko, we talked to Milan about how important it is to get the home crowd behind you now for this stretch run.
Yeah.
I mean, you enjoy a full house screaming for you. I mean, how important is that for you guys?
I mean, to be honest, for me personally, let's say how I feel, I don't know, because this is a team sport, you know, like
right.
It's not tennis.
Right.
Everybody's different, but I feel like when you go inside a game, like you don't really hear the chanting and all that stuff, but you can feel the energy when it's like, when you're like, let's say you're pressing and you're chasing a result or you're trying to score in the next goal or whatever, you feel the vibes of the fans. If the fans clap you for a good touch or a good pass or a good tackle, let's say, you feel more energy, and that's how I feel here in the stadium. I feel like a lot of the people know when to do that, and they've been with us, I feel like, all the games.
Maybe
okay. The game against Louisville when everybody left, I feel like.
I was
outside, so I was feeling it that...
You were out at that
like
point.
I was feeling... I was in the stands. I was watching the game, so I can see that. If I was playing, I wouldn't see that, but I don't know why.
That was not a fun day. That was not a good day.
Yeah, but...
But again, that's another game that started well. Like, you know, up until that first half, I think we were dominating that game. And then Christian's red card, which, again, things happen. No fault to him, but the game turned on a weird play that affected us.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that play into one game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it turns your way, sometimes it doesn't. I don't want to blame it on one thing.
No.
It happens, you know, like it's not like I feel like in this group, trust me, I've been in both like a winning team and a losing team. I've been in both situations. Like I won something and I've been relegated into a second division. I know how it is to be in those types of situations, and I can tell you that this team is not a team that's bad, and the players and the coaches and everybody like knows that we can do way like a lot better, and we've been showing some things, but as I said, like some things are not in your control, some things just happen, and I don't know, but for sure we're gonna try, let's say, fix it, and we've been trying every game that, and we're not gonna give up and do it.
I think the good news is we've had a lot of bad luck go our way. We're due for some good luck. Like,
hopefully,
some of those breaks are going to start going our way just because you guys have fought through so many adversity, you know, we're due.
There's kind of a saying in hockey. I'm a big hockey fan here in the States. And the teams that are struggling but come into right before the playoffs, you know, we've got, what, six games left, I think it is? Seven games? We're playing playoff games right now because we're playing for our lives. So when that time comes, when we do get in the playoffs, we have the ability to go a little bit further because we've been playing that kind of intensity, that necessity that other teams may not have been playing.
And we didn't bring it up when Mirko was here. He's still sitting here. But but Sacramento that year had a little bit of dip in form, but you caught fire just at the right moment and rolled that into the playoffs. So I think even though we're a little bit...
Let's be honest. I played against them in the semifinals.
I was about to mention, Mirko mentioned that LA Galaxy game. I was about to say, how did that go for you?
That's a one game also that the referee played a really big role. Let's be honest.
Oh, well, I wish we had a camera of Mirko's face.
But that's in the past. I don't even think about
that's
it.
That's right.
I don't really care that's about in the past.
It's about the. It's about Saturday.
It's about Saturday. Yeah. I mean, everybody. Trust me, everybody's on their toes.
But that's good. That's what we we want to know coming into this. Not that we don't believe you or don't trust you, but you know, when times are tough, you need that positive reinforcement that you guys are ready to go for it. That you're built for this. Because that's the thing that we heard early on, before the season even started, we're built for this time frame. And coming out of all these injuries that Mirko brought up earlier, you know, we've got everybody coming back mostly. We're ready for this. This is our time.
Let's see it on Saturday.
There it is.
Well, I appreciate the realism, though. You know,
yeah, like
we've got to prove it.
I just can promise that we're gonna fight until our last breath. To get a result, because that's the most important thing right now. I don't care if we win 1-0 and somebody scores with the back and it's an own goal or whatever. I just need 3 points. And yeah, it's a tough situation, but yeah, the only way we can show it is on the field. We can talk about it until tomorrow on this podcast or whatever, but
well,
it comes down on the field.
I think moments like tonight are kind of important for you guys to get the sense of the fans. You know, we're still with you. We're still behind you 100%. But, yeah, you're right. When it comes down to it, we need a win.
Yeah. As I said, I can't promise you win, but I can promise that everybody's going to fight to win the game.
And that's all we can ask,
that's
really.
All we can
and
ask
we've been doing that the whole season. And as I said, I don't feel one game anybody was, like, not playing to win a game, because I know how it is after the game when you get into the locker room and everybody's just miserable and the whole week also until the next game.
I think that's important because, you know, we as fans feel it, obviously, because, you know, we're living and dying with our team, but we need to understand that it's not like you guys are laughing it up. I mean, this is your life too. More than ours.
Of course, this is also our job. We live from this and...
Yeah.
You know how it is. If you're not performing, you might even not get a...
You don't have a job.
You don't have a job. That's
right.
That's the thing.
Now, that being said...
But it's not also only a job. It's something more. It's
your passion.
It's
so
your life.
Because I really don't care about my job.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
But you guys are living
our
dreams.
Trust me, when I lose a game, I don't even... My coffee tastes really bad the next 6 days, so I don't like it.
That being said, if you follow him on Instagram, that Monday, he is visiting some beautiful places in St.
Monday
Louis.
Monday if we win.
If you follow him on Instagram, he's going camping there, putting up the hammocks and trees. You're finding places in the area. I lived here all my life. I'm 42. You're finding beautiful places I never found. How the hell are you finding these places? That's what I want to know.
I just like Forest Park, and you know how it is. Like on Saturdays, a very stressful day in the game, and all. It's a lot of emotions, and you just want to relax somewhere, just take out your mind out of everything. And I feel like that for everybody it's something different, but for me it's just nature. So yeah. I don't know.
But while you're relaxing, I'm sitting at a desk. Hating my job.
Yeah, I know, but
it's important to keep your mind right too, because it's a long season.
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, let's take a break and we'll come back with. Thanks, Dragon, for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Saturday.
We didn't let No, he doesn't have anything
I've already spoke to Dragon. I know, that's right.
You did your 15 minutes with Dragon.
I feel like you wanted to say something, and I caught you there for a moment. And
I was going to mention the semifinal.
Oh, the game, okay.
Yeah, I was going to cut you in. But yeah,
let's not mention that.
So we're going to take a break. We'll bring somebody else on. Thanks to our guys again. This has been great.
It was.
Okay, we're back, and we decided to get a break from the players and get the real MVP of the season. We have the star of Section 8, Willinho, with us.
Back from his suspension.
Yes. Will, it's good to have you, buddy. How are you doing?
Good.
Good? So we haven't seen you in a while. Are you cooperating for mom and dad now?
Yeah, I'm doing good on my chores.
Good.
A lot, yeah.
Awesome. So you can come back to games now, right?
Maybe. I'm going to be grounded for two games.
Oh, you're okay. Grounded for two games?
I think we're all right now.
Yeah.
Okay, but
so was it violent conduct or dangerous play?
It was violent conduct, wasn't it?
Just whatever.
Where's your favorite place to stand when you're at games, Will?
Right by the drummers.
Right by the drummers? That's your best? All right.
Yeah.
I thought you liked standing with Mr. Mitch and Mr. Brad.
But the drums are what? We still stand by you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Come on, people.
So, the one thing I have to ask, did you get your nachos tonight?
Not now.
No nachos.
No nachos tonight? It's only a game day thing to have the nachos?
Yeah!
I love it when you get nachos because I like to steal your nachos.
Yeah, it's whatever. Ah. Someday I'm going to make a nacho bomb.
You're going to make a nacho bomb?
Yeah.
I'm interested in that nacho bomb.
That sounds
good.
Yeah.
So how do you think St. Louis FC is going to do on Saturday? Are they going to win?
Yes. I like St. Louis FC. St. Louis FC.
There it is. If Willinho says they're going to win, there's nobody else that can question this.
There's no bigger fan in all of Section 8 or all of Soccer Park than Willinho.
I can't hear you guys.
You can't hear us? All right.
Because I have headphones on. Can I take a quick drink?
Yeah, go ahead, take a quick drink.
We understand. This is important stuff. You got to keep you hydrated, right? What are you drinking, a Coke there? You got a Coke?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good stuff?
All right, Will.
I was chewing some ice.
Yes. All right.
It's so cold.
Hey.
It calms down your gums.
Yeah.
So, Saturday, you're going to give everybody high fives for a win?
Ding, 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 ding.
All right, you heard it right there. So, when St. Louis FC is winning, come see Willinho, get your high fives. He promises not to lick your eyeball, right?
Okay, I'll promise. By my ice skater.
All right. We're going to talk to some players now, Will. Thanks for coming on.
Okay.
Bye.
See you, Will.
Bye.
Cheers.
So now we're joined. See, this is kind of a letdown because he's been on the radio several times. He's been on with Moon.
On with Moon.
The Ginger Ninja himself, Adam Grinless.
It's good to be on. This is my first time, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. All right, Adam. So here's the thing, right?
Wait a minute. I do want to point out, Adam is the last player here. All the guys have gone home. Adam stuck around late just for us. So.
Well, I want to see if I win the scarf.
Okay.
So here's the deal, Adam, right? I moved here in 2000, and I lived for 7 years in Roseville, Sterling Heights, and Warren. So just because it'll piss Mitch off, can we talk about Steve Eisenman for a while?
Fuck you. Fuck you guys.
Stevie Y, baby. Yeah, I mean.
Gretzky turns it over. Go ahead. Just kick my dog while you're at it.
Hey,
I'll have my wife bring him back up. You can kick my dog while you're at it.
For those that don't know, Adam's a good Michigan boy.
I am. West Michigan, so not as closely associated with the Lions and the Tigers, but always been a Wings fan.
Let it go, Mitch. Let it go.
I can't do it.
He's our guy now. Well, no, Adam, you know.
Thank God you're good. That's all I'm saying.
If you sucked ass,
we'd be rumbling.
I'd be easy to hate.
I'd be shanking you
Very
right now, just
hate.
Shanking
well,
you
First
right
of all,
now.
He's a ginger, so strike one.
I'm already starting here. I'm starting low. I'm trying to work my way up.
No, but, hey, you've had a great season. Obviously, you're sharing time with Davala, another great keeper in this league. Oh, Mitch is giving him directions.
Just telling him to get closer because he's pulling off while he's talking.
Oh,
it's like
okay. People
won't hear him telling me how shitty the Red Wings are.
I don't want that.
But, I mean, for the guys tonight, you know, tonight was just an opportunity for us fans to say, hey, maybe results haven't gone exactly our way over the last, you know, several games, but we're still there, we're still in it, we're still fighting, and we're still behind you guys. I mean, does it make a difference to you guys, the fans, you know, still interacting, still being there? I mean, I know I heard your interview on the radio this morning. You do have to kind of tune things out when you're a goalie. You got to be laser focused. But having the fans behind you, having a little bit of energy in the crowd, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Without a doubt. I mean, I'm coming from 2 years playing in Rochester. We had some great teams, but playing for that club was difficult because we had no fan support. We had nobody cheering us on. We had a 16,000-person stadium with maybe 1,000 fans, and they were all families and no real support section. So
a little shade there.
Yeah. I loved my time there, yeah. But, you know, I think that being here in comparison, and there is no comparison. This is unbelievable, and that's my perspective. That's what I'm coming from. So to be playing in front of the fans that we have here has been incredible, and that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm still here, because everything you guys do makes me a better player. It makes me want to be better, because when I go on that field, I know that I have you guys behind me, but I also know how much you've invested into this club. I'm new. This is my first year. You guys have been supporting this club since its inception and before, right?
Yeah.
So whatever I can do to help build this sport in this city and help you guys advance the cause, and however I can be a part of it.
Look at the young guy doing his homework.
I know,
though,
he's
you
right.
Know? It's like, you know.
But I'm gonna help him out here a little bit. The fans that do show up in Rochester, great fans.
Absolutely. But we had, the Oak Street Brigade,
but
considering fantastic.
They had more supporters groups than they had people.
But seriously.
That's the thing. It was just such a small group.
How good that team was, they really deserve a better fan base.
I'd say the same about Charlotte this year.
Yeah.
You know, they get twigs and shit for supporters, but the team deserves more fans. And in Rochester with Tony and Christian, you know, that team that you had with Duber up there.
Unbelievable.
It was amazing.
And you're coming off the Canada road trip, which, you know, Ottawa gets a good group of fans up there, but Toronto, what is the sort of culture shock when you go from, say, a Cincinnati that gets 20,000 fans a game to a Toronto, which if they say 1,000, they're overestimating by two.
For sure.
1,000?
It's an adjustment, that's for sure. That's the interesting thing about this league is that depending on where you play, it could be a completely different environment. There's no real consistency throughout the away matches. So, to be fair to Toronto, there was a group of about 20 kids.
Yeah, they were making
the young
noise.
Reds
yeah.
that were making very good noise, had consistent chants, were steady. So, props to them. But it is a massive adjustment, obviously, with the Bailey and Cincinnati, and then you go to Toronto. Like you said, there's 900 fans there, and there's kids chanting. It's very, very different. But it makes it that much more special to come home, right? Because you experience these different environments and you come back and you know that it's going to be steady support. You know there's going to be thousands of people behind you.
As a goalie, obviously you have a lot of downtime when the ball's at the other end. I mean, you can focus only
you hope.
So.
That's the goal. That's what I had 2 years in Rochester, right? So
that's
I am
right.
used to
right,
it.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying is that, you know, all of a sudden, so you start, do you start to pick up those things a little bit more? I'm not saying you lose focus, but you can't help but notice the silence or the noise or the, you know, does it get uncomfortable to reclaim your space, for lack of a better word, your mental space?
A little bit. I mean, if it gets quiet, it actually makes my job a little bit easier because then I can communicate with the defenders a little bit easier and maybe in the back we're more organized. But at the same time, that it's better when I don't have to dominate the airwaves when the fans are doing it. They're building the energy that, you know, sometimes as players we try and bring out of ourselves, but the fans do that for us a lot of the times.
Penalty kick, noise or no?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Say it again?
Penalty kick. Do you want noise or do you want it quiet?
Do I want noise or do I want quiet? Noise.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Because we've had keepers that are like, no, when they're shooting on me, I want it quiet.
Really?
But we've had it the other way too. So
I guess I've seen that. I've definitely seen supporter sections be very loud when the other guy is taking it. But then when the players are taking it, they might want it quiet.
Right.
So you'd have to ask one of those guys. Right. I don't even know who our penalty taker is.
We don't want you facing it, so that's
but
that's
when, the whole but thing. When you're in goal,
get loud.
You want
get hype.
Loud.
Yeah, throw that guy off, whatever you can do. I'm trying to throw him off in my own ways. However, I can take the help.
You play PDL up at the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Were you disappointed not to play in the Open Cup game? Or was it kind of a relief that you weren't in the spotlight, like, well, this returning kid?
Yes and no. It was an interesting setup for me because at that point I was playing in the league, right? So it was kind of said to me, okay, now you're playing in the league. You know, we want to keep Dave fresh, so we're going to give him some games, and that was totally understandable. But then following that, he then played in the league games.
Right.
We came back. So that's what made it very difficult because I was thinking, well, if you knew he was going to play against Toronto 2 days later, let me play against my hometown team in front of my friends. But that's, you know, people beyond my pay, way higher than me, make those decisions. And I respect those decisions every time. But it was tough just because I had a lot of friends and family there. But fantastic to be back in Michigan. It's first time I've been back there as a professional. So it was awesome.
It is a good question, though. I mean, a goalkeeper is a different position than an outfielder. And, you know, maybe Davala, when they started the season, was the number one. And obviously, you want that number one job. And you guys are pushing each other in practice every day. Is it a little disconcerting not knowing who's going to be the number one from week to week?
I think for a lot of goalkeepers, it can be. My rookie year, I played behind the USL Goalkeeper of the Year, Brandon Miller. That guy broke every record there is for shutouts. So whether or not I was training better than the guy, they weren't going to mix it up because he was winning and we were getting clean sheets. But we pushed each other, and I think I helped him maintain that level, and he wasn't able to make any mistakes. Because if he did, he knew that our coach was going to change it right away. Last year I played with Tomas Gomez. Same thing. I think we split the game 60-40, 50-50 almost. I got injured at the end of the year, so he ended up playing him out. But that's all I know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's normal. But I think a lot of goalkeepers, they get steady number one gigs, and then they come in and they have to face competition. That's Preki's style.
Yeah.
He wants no one to be comfortable. So I'm thankful for it because I signed up to be the number two. But then I got my opportunity because Preki creates a competitive environment. So that being said, when I am playing, I'm never the number one because it could be one bad goal. Not even a bad game, but a bad goal.
Right.
And then it could be a switch the next game.
Right.
So you were in Rochester, though, and you were playing. What made you come to St. Louis?
Why? So, yeah, so Rochester.
He just said the fans are shit.
No.
Words are being put in my mouth.
No.
I did not say that.
He did not say that.
Brent likes to put things in people's mouth. I actually loved the city. It was a fantastic start to my career. Their coach there is fantastic.
Yeah, Bob Lilley.
Tactical guru.
He's a legend.
Right. So to be a goalkeeper for that team is fantastic because you know you're going to have 3-4 shots and a lot of crosses, but you're not going to get hung out to dry ever.
Yeah.
So it was tough to leave that. But I think I was coming off of an injury. I knew that I was going to have an off-season surgery. Tomas was going to be coming back. I knew that I was probably going to start as the number two. And I just figured I am confident in my own abilities. I'm going to take them somewhere else and really test myself. Because I could have gone back to Rochester, you know, been complacent, you know, worked my way into a couple games this season, probably backing Tomas up, pushing him again. But I just figured it was best for me to move on.
We're glad you did. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I think it was without a doubt the best decision I've made in my career, without a doubt.
And I think it also speaks to whoever you are, wherever you are in your career, you don't give up because you came in here knowing Davala's reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's no slight on Davala. Things happen, but you constantly have to challenge yourself to the next level. And I think you've risen to the challenge, and I think you've become a better keeper. Because I mean, we watched Rochester in the past, but I think you're coming into your own.
Without a doubt. I think sheer opportunity that I'm provided with this club, which for better or for worse has helped me improve. Because like I said, I might only face a couple shots. I might have zero saves in an entire game playing for Rochester. And that's not really going to help me grow as much as it's just going to help my stats.
Us being bad is making you better? Is that what I just heard?
I would love you to face no shots.
Yeah,
I would love it. That's a goalkeeper's dream.
Right.
And that's what I've had. That's what I had with the Michigan Bucks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I had with Rochester. That's what I'm used to. But
it
this
also
is my job.
Your game, yeah.
Exactly. And it's my job to keep the ball to the net. If they have zero opportunities, if they have 20 opportunities.
Let's talk about Jones real quick. You're working with Brian Jones here. He's got a reputation throughout the country as a top-quality goalkeeper coach. Mm-hmm. What's it like working with Jones?
So when I came in, I was aware of who he was because of Tomas, the goalkeeper I played with last year, as well as his YouTube videos. Right, I had watched a lot of his stuff, just basic fundamentals, things I had picked up watching some of the goalkeepers train under him. He's intense. And
he is
very intense. So we had to feel each other out the first couple months, and I don't think he was too sure on me, and I was sure that this guy was going to push me because he wasn't going to be nice about it. He was going to be hard about it. And that has helped me immensely because I had a player's coach and Rochester player's goalkeeper coach who was like a buddy almost.
Yeah.
And this is a little bit different that we have a great relationship, but it's very professional.
Yeah.
Because he wants to get the best out of his goalkeepers. And he has pushed me beyond.
Yeah, he's not afraid to push.
No. And he's pushed me beyond what I felt comfortable doing. He's told me I can do things that I didn't believe him. But he's a dreamer, and he thinks bigger than I think I could think for myself. So he has told me I could do things I haven't believed in, but he's showed me that I could do more than I believed I could do before.
Favorite team?
So I get this question a lot, and I struggle to answer it because I grew up in a non-soccer-playing family. And
I think it's not uncommon in
America. No, absolutely. Yeah. So I grew up watching MLS. I grew up watching the LA Galaxy with Kobe Jones and Kevin Hartman. Those were my teams. So I used
you
to always
like Kobe Jones outfits, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The hair. You guys have the same hairstyle. Yeah. I understand.
I would love to see you with dreads.
So I we'll talk about it. Maybe.
Hey, you know what? The numbers you're putting up, though, you can do whatever the hell you want
you
with
can
your
rock,
hair.
You can rock dreads.
Eighth in saves, 10th in clean sheets. On a team that struggled at times, that's significant numbers, dude. I mean, you're shaking it off. I can see that, but you're putting up amazing numbers on a team that struggled, and that's a testament to that hard work.
I appreciate it. I mean, the guys, like I've definitely worked hard to get to this position, but when we get clean sheets, it's because Tony played sick or Conrad blocked 20 shots. Like a lot of the clean sheets we've had, I haven't had to do much, and I've been super thankful for.
There's legitimate. I get where you're coming from, but you have also saved a few games for us. I mean, you know, we joke around. We call you Ginger Ninja, you know.
And I love it.
But so there you – wait. He said he loves it. So
keep it coming. It gets me fired up.
So there you hear it.
But you have made some amazing saves, which I know you don't want to have to do, but you've done it. I mean
– they're game changers at times. I mean – When they have an opportunity that it's a certain goal and you stop it, that changes the flow of the game both for the fans and the players. You're one of those guys that can make an impact immediately. You can't minimize that. Sorry, I will not let you.
No. I will admit this season I've been put into positions where I've had to make more game-saving saves than I have in my career. But like I mentioned before, that happened to me a lot with the Bucks as well. We played in the PDL championship game, and I think I made two saves in the playoffs leading up to it. And then in the championship match, we score an early goal, and they berate our goal, and I have to make three, four big saves. We end up winning 1-0, and it's like, wow, this is what I was preparing for the whole time. So I love that. You know, I want to help the team however I can. If I can help the fans get more into it because of a big save or help keep our team in the match, that's my job, and I'm thankful to do it.
You like the fathead, right?
I loved it.
That's William Hesel.
Made my season. I sent it to all my friends and family. They loved it.
For those that don't know, it wasn't just your normal fathead.
No, Will Hesel, he makes the fatheads for the players, and he made one for Adam. And I think somebody at a tailgate said, you know what you need to do? You need to slap the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle goggles on him.
And he did. And the best thing, there's a great picture that, what's his name?
Will.
Yeah, Will took. Of me showing it to you and the look on your face in that picture.
Where is that fantastic. Picture and how can I get a hold of it?
I'll make sure I send it over to you.
Thank you.
It's fantastic because it's the exact moment where I just pointed it out to you and the look of sheer joy on your face is worth a million. But that's that kind of great thing that we get to do as fans that, you know, we don't get this kind of interaction in MLS if that was here. We don't get this kind of, you know, I can be on the field and grabbing you by the arm and saying, check this shit out. And that doesn't happen anywhere else. So we're lucky to have that kind of opportunity with you guys.
Yeah, and we love it too. I mean, I love the fact that I can come over and have conversations with you guys at the end of the game. Thank you personally for the support after the games. And we're close, and that's what I like about
the kids. When you see the kids come over, like they are in heaven getting just your autograph or 5 seconds of a selfie with you guys. I mean, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and I love that too. I mean, that's something – I have all the time in the world for those kids. If they want to stay out there for 2 hours after the game, if they're still there and they want pictures and autographs, I'm going to be out there because I'm just thankful for their support. And, you know, I hope to inspire these kids to continue playing and maybe grow the sport in St. Louis as it just continues to grow because of you guys and because of the crazy history this city has.
He is so polished. You'd think he'd been on the radio in the past couple of days.
He's good.
It's a Michigan degree. It's the University of Michigan education. That's what I always think.
All right, but before we let you go, before we wrap up, why don't you give a personal plea to the fans to what does it mean to get these last few home games, get them out there, bring a friend, pack that park. It makes a big difference to you guys, right?
Absolutely. I mean, my one thing would be if you haven't already come to a game, come. If you haven't brought a friend, bring 10. And get out there, yell as loud as you can, jump in the Ginger Ninja chant, when and if I'm making saves, and just cheer the guys on to victory. Because no matter who's playing or no matter what's going on the pitch, your support is massive, and it means the world to us.
There it is.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Let me give a couple more shout-outs before we close the pod.
We're closing.
Are we closing?
We can. That's all fine.
Right. This weekend, Harrisburg. On Saturday, if you don't have tickets already, call our man Darian. You know how it goes. The tailgate party, we are having tacos.
Yeah,
from
Chuck Wagon Tacos.
Donate to eat. The charity du jour this week is Demetrius Johnson's Charitable Foundation.
That was one of Tom and the SDLFC or MLS2SDL's charities.
That's right. They do good work with kids in St. Louis. We're having a scarf sale, $10 on any scarf that we have. That's the 2016, the 2017 scarves. $10 and half of that will go to Charity du jour. After 3 years, we are up to $40,000 that we have given to charity.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It's awesome.
And we're also going to have a raffle item, the sweet book that's carved into
awesome.
The St. Luligan's logo. We'll post a picture of it. But Adam and Mirko and Dragon and Milan, all the guys that were on the pod and all the guys that were here tonight, really want you to come out Saturday, and let's make it crazy, let's make it silly.
Thank you, Adam, for your time. I mean, I know this is your night off. There's better things to do, even if it's playing FIFA or masturbating or whatever. You have better things to do than be here. But you know,
wait, do you do it with the gloves on?
Well, of course, of course.
They're personal questions.
He's a goalie, of course he does.
You got to condition those gloves.
That's right. But we know you got better things to be doing. So, you know, the fans appreciate you coming out. The listeners are going to appreciate hearing from you. It's this kind of connection that we're lucky. Thank you.
I'm happy to have it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Anything else, boys?
Matt Bird, you got anything?
No, I'm good.
Matt Bird's traveling out of the country for the next 2 weeks, so he won't be at the games.
It'll just be me and Brad probably on the next podcast. Maybe we'll get somebody to fill in for Bird.
Maybe Sarah. Sarah doesn't like to talk on the pod, but maybe
she
we'll
just
make
gave
her.
You the
I
look.
I don't know. Adam's pretty articulate.
I know I was going to say maybe Adam's filling
nothing
in for you.
Nothing compares to how you articulate everything. So
right.
The British vernacular.
And here's
can't
the
compete.
Other thing. This week we'll be there, but the very next weekend, Mitch and I are at the U2 concert. Sarah's going to need some help at the merch table. So
unless you want to go to U2 because I have an extra ticket now.
But if you want to help Sarah out, come up to us Saturday at the game. And because Sarah needs some help at the merch table because we're all leaving her high and dry. So
easy enough. We will see you guys Saturday. Pack the park.
That's right.
See ya.
Thanks.